May the one who gave blessings to those before us now give us the strength and endurance to become a blessing to others. It's a Hebrew prayer. Do we have the desire to bless others? And if we have the desire to bless others, how do we go about doing it? Jesus said the people he described in what we call the Beatitudes were blessed. In Matthew chapter 5, it presents for us the characteristics of people whose lives have been blessed by God. Brethren, a question that I have for each one of us is, are we partakers of those blessings in Matthew chapter 5? Blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they, and you can go through them and you could read them. Because I think many of you already know what they are. But what about also the people in our lives? Are they experiencing such blessings that Jesus Christ described? I personally believe there is a spiritual cause and effect relationship for people who have lives, who lives lives in such a godly manner as is described in Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. Yet, we also find Jesus pronounce blessings on them. God is certainly pleased with people who live their lives as those described in the Beatitudes. The blessing pronounced by Jesus Christ is a clear response to people who give God pleasure. What a wonderful, what a beautiful thought. Is it possible that we can give or pronounce blessing as God does for us? Can we pronounce blessings on others? The late Swiss psychiatrist, theologian, Dr. Paul Turnier, presented his thoughts on his discovery of a reoccurring psychological problem. I'm not going to describe the problem because that's not the point. But he described this problem, a reoccurring problem among various clients, and he labeled this problem as the unblessed child. The unblessed child. He found that the blessing of a child was not connected with the child's gifts, abilities, or the unique opportunities in life that the child had found and had been able to experience. He found it was not even related to material blessings. He found that it was related to people cross culture, to people who were rich or poor, some young and some old. But he labeled this reoccurring psychological problem as the unblessed child. The unblessed child had to do with children not feeling approved by his or her parent. These children somehow believed they did not measure up to parental expectations. These children felt that somehow they would never really please their parents. There are many adults who have grown up as unblessed children. Some have never, ever really known that they ever pleased their parents. Many adults that I have personally counseled with have said that they never heard any kind of encouragement from their parents ever. Well, that's sad. That's sad. And you know, brethren, I believe all of us want and desire to be blessed. I also personally believe all of us would probably like to know how to be blessed and also how to bless others. The Bible is full of stories of God's blessings. The Bible describes for us a number of significant examples where people of God were blessed by God. The Bible also describes for us people who understood their own capacity and responsibility to bless others. So let's look at a story that I believe paints a real graphic picture for us. We're going to look at a story, I believe, in a little bit of a different way today. It's the story of Isaac and his two sons, Esau and Jacob. Immediately you conjure up and you know things about the story. You know about this man who was the son. Isaac was the son of Abraham. It was Abraham, then Isaac, and then Jacob and Esau. Isaac wanted to pronounce blessings on Esau, who was his oldest and favorite son. The account is real clear. When Isaac knew that the end of his days were drawing near, he called Esau to him in order to pronounce blessing on him. Together they planned a special meal. This special occasion as a celebration to commence the special occasion that he was going to pronounce these blessings upon him for being the older son and also being his favorite son. But the special blessing Isaac intended to give directly to Esau never happened. You know the story. Jacob, through deception and help on the part of his mother, tricked Isaac. In essence, it could be stated that Jacob stole Esau's blessings. Now, I'm not dealing with what God intended. I don't think God, you know, I'm not implying at all that God set this up, that God made it happen this way. That's not my intention. But it's very clear that we understood that God apparently always himself, God was going to bless Jacob, whose name he changed to Israel. And that was from birth. That was while they were still in the womb. Because we have the scripture that says, Jacob I have loved and Esau I have hated, and they were still in the womb. So we understand God's intention was always to do something very, very special with Jacob. But the custom was, and the way things were done, the blessings were given to the firstborn. And it just so happened that Isaac's eldest son, Esau, was also his favorite. I mean, you read the story, you read it, and you can see that is true. And so something happens. And so when I use the word that in essence Jacob stole the blessing, I use that cautiously. Even though the account, that certainly is the way it happened. You know, from the human level. But what would God have done? I'm not dealing with what God would have done. This is what happened. This is what was done. I don't know about you, but I think we rarely think of blessing as something can be stolen. But evidently it can be. Jacob and his mother conspired to trick Isaac. They deceived this man who was now old and was blind. And of course, the reaction of Esau when this event had already taken place and he learned about it was furious. And without a doubt, I think every one of us can certainly understand and would even agree that it was an absolutely understandable reaction under the situation. When Esau learned that Isaac had already pronounced a special blessing on Jacob, The Bible says, and I'm somewhat paraphrasing it, but in a moment we're going to actually read the account, but it gets the picture for us. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me too, my father, for he has cheated me twice now. He took my birthright, and look, now he has taken my blessing." Then he said, and this is talking about Esau, then he says, "Haven't you saved a blessing for me? Do you only have one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." And Esau wept loudly. Go with me to the account. It's found in Genesis chapter 27. And let's read a few verses here. And read it the way it says in the Bible. Genesis chapter 27 and verse 34. "And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety and has taken away your blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him your lord," or your master, or your boss, your overseer, the one that's over you. "I have made him your lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And when corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto you, my son?" What am I going to give to you? And Esau said unto his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Do we get the picture here, brother? Here is a grown man crying. Apparently, Esau was a strong, manly, outdoor type of person. He was perhaps what we might call a real man's man. Yet, here he felt cheated, and he cried and begged his father for blessing. Would you, or perhaps would each one of us, might think this is the way every unblessed child might think, whether that is a child or whether that is a grown adult who still has those same feelings? But brother, aching and crying out for blessing is not limited to parents and children. Every spouse who is unblessed may feel this way to his or her mate. We interact every day with people who need blessing. The unblessed child. And there's a lot of us. There's a lot of people that are that in our culture today. Many of them have grown up as a result of being the unblessed child, hardened and angry. If at all, it would only be slightly that they would be aware of their ongoing problems with authority and other important relationships being related to their need to be blessed. Most people probably would never come to really understand that. A question that I ask each one of us, is this our cry also? People need, yes, people need to experience a genuine sense of acceptance from significant people in their lives. Do we experience such blessing, such a genuine sense of acceptance? Perhaps not. Mostly, I think this is because we have not seen many examples of people truly blessing others. I would put it this way. We are uneducated in the art of blessing. The Bible says that God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. We sometimes limit that. But is it? Sometimes, of course, it is because they have rejected the knowledge God has given to them. Certainly, we understand that as well. Sometimes it is because our ancestors and our society in general have rejected knowledge in our past. And they did not teach the truth to us about being a blessing and blessing others. Another question, as you're going to see throughout this sermon, I have several questions. Does this have to be this way now? Can we change now? Can we begin to bless and receive blessings now? And the answer is absolutely yes. Life does not have to be empty of blessings. We, and I mean you and I, all of us that are hearing this, can give a blessing to others. I want us to look at some scriptures and see how we can do that. How we can bless others. Let's look at some examples and let's see, out of the Bible, get some points that we start. This is not an exhaustive study. This is not going to answer all the questions. I understand that. But it's a place to begin so that we can start blessing others. I want you to go back to Genesis 27. You're probably still there. Verse 21. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near. Now, he's thinking this is Esau, and we understand that, okay? And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray you, I ask you, that I may feel you, my son, whether you are my very son Esau or not. Now, of course, we know Jacob presented himself as being Esau, and so he lied, we understand. He was forgiven later. He asked Esau to forgive him later. So we can understand the importance of the fact that a blessing needs to be felt. In the scriptures, touch played an important role in the bestowal of family blessings. There are several examples. I'm just sticking with this one right here because I think it really gets the point across. When Isaac blessed Jacob, an embrace and a kiss were involved. The same is true today. We want and often need to feel the embrace of those we love. I'll tell you this story. I want to share this story with you. I think it makes the point. This little 4-year-old girl became very frightened late one night during a bad thunderstorm. And then one very loud clap of thunder happened, and you can see this in your mind's eye. Maybe your children have done this, or you've done this, or both. And it's a real loud clap of thunder, and the little girl jumps out of her bed, runs down the hall, opens the parents' door, runs over, jumps into the middle of the bed with them. She's there because she wants her parents' arms for comfort and reassurance. She wants to be told in one way, it's okay. In this particular story, the dad says, don't worry, honey, trying to calm her fears, obviously. And he says something along the lines of, God will protect you. And God will protect her. And God does protect us. But the little girl simply snuggled closer to her dad and said, "I know that, Daddy. But right now I need someone with skin on." Gets the point, doesn't it? You know. In the story, of course, this little girl did not doubt her heavenly father's ability to protect her. It's a story. But she was also aware that God had also given her an earthly father, a parent, someone who cared for her, to care for her. She saw this, she understood it, and maybe your children have done things like this. They understand sometimes things that we don't know that they understand, and they may not be able to put it in words, but they sense it. They have a sense of something about them, and they know they need to be comforted. They know they need to be picked up. They know they need to be touched. They know that they need to be reassured it's okay. What she wanted, not having words for it, of course, but what she wanted was comfort, security, and personal acceptance. The blessing, a meaningful touch. Have you ever noticed how often the gospel writers spoke of Jesus touching people? If you've never done a study on it, just read the gospel account and just go through and just mark all the places where it talks about Jesus touching people. Jesus touched people. Jesus touched people other people would never think of touching. Jesus touched the sick, the lepers, the blind, deaf, the prostitutes, the outcast. Who else would have touched these people? Jesus touched people. Go with me to Mark chapter 10. You may know this account right off. But there's this real special moment where Jesus had parents bring their little children to him. You know the story, but we're going to read it. We're going to read one of them. There's three different gospel accounts to talk about it. Jesus touched them, and he blessed them. It's in Mark chapter 10, verse 13. We'll start. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them, that brought the children to Jesus. I don't know their reasons. I mean, we can read into it and we can, you know, Hollywoodize it, you know, whatever, and make it, you know, that, well, he's too busy, go away, parent. Don't you know that he's got more things to do than mess with little children? I mean, I don't know what they, you know, what their thinking was. But Jesus, when he saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, "Suffer or allow the little children to come unto me and forbid them not." Don't forbid them to come to me. For of such is the kingdom of God. Whoa, what a powerful lesson that we can learn right there. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Verse 16. And he, Jesus, took them up in his arms. He held them. He picked them up. Put his hands on them. He touched them and blessed them. Touch is a very significant part of blessing others. I hope that we notice. I hope we noticed this. After Jesus took them in his arms, laying his hands upon him, he blessed them. Jesus set us a very beautiful example for us to follow. And sometimes we read over this very quickly. not getting the real lesson, or a very powerful lesson that is here. It is a lesson that we are to learn to follow in how we are to communicate a blessing on others through touch. I believe that we need to settle this in our minds now. I don't think this is something we need to wait about. I think this is something we need to do, and we need to, you know, agree in it in our own minds now. Determine to never, ever stop giving meaningful touch to the people that you love. Give hugs. Hold hands. Stroke the heads of the ones you love. Put your arms around their shoulders. Touch. What a beautiful gift of touch to communicate some very significant things in the lives of every person, whoever they are, whatever age they are. Some very important, significant events or things that are needed in the lives of every one of us. Acceptance, approval, importance, value, and worth in touching somebody. Failing to touch others is failing to transmit blessings to others. That's a lesson that we can learn from back in Genesis chapter 27. It's a lesson that we can learn from Mark 10. A second important aspect of blessing is that a blessing needs to be spoken. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 27. This time, verse 27. We're going to read some of these verses several times because there's different points that we see at different times. Genesis 27, verse 27. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment or his clothing and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed." He spoke the words. Yes, he touched him. That's what it says. He came near and he kissed him. And then he spoke the words. In the Bible, family blessings included a spoken message. Abraham spoke a blessing to Isaac. Isaac spoke a blessing to his son Jacob. Verse 27. When Isaac smelled his clothes, he blessed him and said, he spoke. Jacob spoke a blessing to his 12 sons and to two of his grandchildren. He spoke. Genesis chapter 49. You can read all of Genesis 49. Read the entire chapter. And you can see what the blessings were to each one of the sons. I'm going to read one verse. 28. Genesis 49 verse 28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is it that their father spoke unto them and blessed them. He spoke the blessing on them. Everyone, according to his blessing, he blessed them. You see, a blessing is not a blessing unless it is communicated in words. It must be spoken. There has to be touch, and there has to be words. The Bible says there is great power in words. Go to Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words are very powerful. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Words have an incredible power. They can build us up, or words can tear us down. Most of us have probably heard the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is absolutely, put it in the vernacular, stupid. Of course they hurt. Of course they hurt. And the reason is because the statement is absolutely untrue. It is absolutely untrue. I can show you time after time throughout the Bible, we've been seeing that. Anyone who believes this old saying does not know life in its reality. This old saying also is a big lie. Our words have the power of death. They have the power of life, but it also has the power of death. That's what we just read in Proverbs. That hurts. Sticks and stones may hurt, might break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Of course they can hurt you. Now, I don't know about you, but I find this statement to be absolutely sobering. That when we think about this, brethren, avoid all negative words about other people and to other people. About them or to them. I remember when we had an opportunity to serve in the ministry out in Pasadena, California. There was this sweet old lady in her early 80s at the time. Be at church services or wherever, she suffered from Alzheimer's. This is, you know, just what happened. But she would not hesitate to walk up to people and say, "My dad used to tell me, if you can't say something nice about somebody, don't say anything at all." Now, I don't know how she got stuck on that, but what a blessing it was to get stuck on something like that. How true that is. How true this really is. I mean, we can inflict horrible pain to others with our words. Yes, absolutely, words can destroy. They can kill a friendship. They can tear apart a home. They can even cast harm to a good marriage. When these harmful words are spoken, it is impossible to bring them back. They're out there. Oh, we can be forgiven because the other person loves us. But the words are out there. They are out there in reality. They flood out of our mouths and do their awful damage often even before we get finished with our utterances. Before the words are all even spoken, they've already done damage. What do you mean? Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's a lie. Words can hurt. Yet the good news is that words can also build us up, because words have the power to build us up. Words can lead us toward healing, forgiveness, and abundant life. Our children, our spouse, our friends, our work associates, everyone we rub shoulders with, every person we come in contact with, including our own selves, every one of us long to hear words of approval and acceptance and words of affection. Every one of us. Every person you meet. Such words need to be said before and after others have made mistakes and gotten into trouble. The blessing we pronounce is an expression of worth and value of the person. Please also note this. Everyone we know longs to hear praises, long to hear phrases like, "I love you. You are important to me. You matter. you are worthy, or whatever the words may be. But we all long for that. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27 and 28. Proverbs 3, verse 27 and 28. Verse 27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do it. Speak positive words to everybody we know. Verse 28. Say not unto your neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when you have it by you. This one not only says we're to do it, it says you don't even wait. If we can do it now, do it now. If we can do it, we are to do it. And this shows us we should do it now. I see no place in this of speaking negative words about another person or to another person. There are situations and there are circumstances where correction needs to be taken and all of that, but it all needs to be done in love, and then the person needs to be comforted and the person needs to be reassured that it's okay. See, we don't hear that. We don't tend to do that. That's not the way we've been brought up in our culture, in our society. But it is the way, it is the biblical way, I really believe, that it is to be done. Begin today. Begin today communicating blessing to others. Speak words of blessings to others. A third aspect of blessing is a blessing attaches special value to the person. Let's go back to Genesis 27, back to our account. We're going to start reading in verse 27. We read this, but like I said, we're going to read several of these verses several times here today. Genesis 27, beginning in verse 27. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, God give you of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brethren. And let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone that curses you, and blessed be he that blesses you. To value something, remember this is the third point. To value something means we place a great importance on it. This fact is at the heart of the concept of blessing others. Yes, it includes touch, and the words have to be spoken, but I believe this is really the concept. This is the heart and the core, in that sense, of blessing others. To place value on the person to whom is the recipient of the blessings. In the Hebrew, to bow the knee, that's in verse 29, is where it uses that phrase. It says, and your mother's son bowed down to you. It means to bow the knee before you. Some translations actually have it that way. But in the Hebrew, this phrase, to bow the knee, is the root meaning of blessing. It's the root meaning. The root word is used of a man who has his camel to bend his knee so he can get on it. That's the concept. That's where it comes from. You know what? I mean, that paints a picture for us. In relationship to God, the word came to mean to adore with bended knees. Bending before someone is a graphic picture of valuing that person. We bow before God in worship. Maybe not necessarily physically, although I think there's nothing wrong in that in worship either. But it's a concept. It's a graphic picture. We see it. Bowing before God in worship. When we bow our entire being before God, and we do that in presenting ourselves in a right attitude, in a right spirit, in a right mood, everything about us is to honor ourselves, bowing the knee, our whole body, as it were, before God. When we do that, we are blessing God. When we come before God in worship in this kind of an attitude, with this kind of heart, we are blessing God. When we come before God to worship Him, and the attitude is not right, the attitude is on self, and the attitude is not on God, and we're talking about our own selves, we're talking about, you know, our own things, we are not blessing God. That's not the concept. The concept is we're doing it in the right attitude. We're doing it from the heart, not just doing it by rote. We're doing it in the right attitude, and it comes from the heart. We can also speak the words that we bless Him. You ever thought about telling God that we bless you? I'm not going to read it. You can read it. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. It's an example. Now, you're going to have to do a little bit of a study because it depends on which translation you use. But do a little study on it. And what it's going to tell you is that we can speak words to God. We bless you. I bless you. That concept is in several of the New Testament books. I just gave you one example to start. It's in 1 Corinthians. It's in 2 Corinthians. It's in Colossians. I just used one. Anytime we bless someone, we are attaching high value to that person. Isaac, going back to our story, placed great value on Jacob when he blessed him. Now, again, he thought it was Esau, but the fact is, Jacob was the recipient of it. So he placed great value on Jacob when he blessed him. Let me read these words again. I want you to listen to some of these words. We've read some of them, but I'm going to read it again. So he came closer and kissed him. This is in an alternate translation. When Isaac smelled his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give to you from the dew of the sky and from the richness of the land an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brothers. May your mother's sons bow down to you." Meaning offer him great value. You know, you're of great value. This is what he's talking about. Those who curse you will be cursed. And those that bless you will be blessed. That's an alternate translation of verses 27 through 29. Isaac's words were very poetic and descriptive. When Isaac uses the word, when he says that Jacob smelled like a field, Jacob was communicating to his son that he was as refreshing as a newly cut field of hay or wheat. This is not something, you know, some of us would go, "Ooh, I wouldn't want to smell like a field." No, this is graphic. This is poetic. This is very descriptive. This is something that was very positive. These words were words of value from Isaac to Jacob. So it gets lost in the translation. Isaac painted a picture for his son that one day other people would bow down to him. Isaac pronounced that Jacob would be a man of great respect. He was to be valued by others. Now, we just look at modern history. From that time on, being modern history, did this come about? Absolutely.
What about to Esau? No. Jacob, whom I've loved, and Esau, who I hate. And we can see it. It happened the way God intended it to be. The end result was exactly what God wanted. I would ask you that you would read and reread this passage over and over and make sure to realize how these graphic descriptions of praise dominated and demonstrated Jacob's father's, how he believed his son was very valuable, someone who had great worth. Because that's what he believed. Some of us may think that it would be very easy to value and bless people who have great gifts, or a lot of gifts. But what about people that we find difficult to deal with? What about them? What about the sick and the leper and the blind and the prostitute and the cast out? What about those people? Expressing blessings in words of high value is easy when we don't have to look very deep or very far. That's easy. Oh, this person is worthy of this. But some people may challenge us. We may have to dig deep to discover the value of certain individuals. Sometimes we must be able to see what others do not see. With some people, we have to look beyond their rough exterior. I tell you a story about a man that we know, grown adult, have children, who are now grown. So I've known this man a long time. As a teenager, in the church where the church didn't really want their males to have longer hair, he grew longer hair and painted his fingernails red and grew them out long. How many people you think hung around him? Not many. We were blessed by getting to know him and to see the value of the person. This was something else. What he was trying to do was to find out if people really liked him because of who he was, not because of what he looked like. Now, that was a problem. But God blessed us by being able to get to know this man. But how many people did? Well, I've known this man a lot of years, and what I would say is, not many ever bothered to really find out. We have to look and see the person's potential. Now, what is this potential? A son in the family of God. The red fingernail polish when makeup was a no-no, and here's a guy wearing it. It's not about that. We even need to be recognizing and expressing a person's potential, even in doing so, recognizing and even encouraging somebody else in that way is a kind of blessing on that person. We know the story of Peter, the apostle. Jesus saw things in Peter that others may not have noticed. To many of the Jews of that time, Peter was just a fisherman. Well, who are these people? They're unlearned. How can they know what is truth? That's what they said. Jesus gave Peter a new name. Once Peter was called Simon, and Jesus gave him the name of Rock, or Peter. As a result, something incredible happened. Jesus thoroughly changed Peter's life. You and I can turn someone's life around by giving them a blessing. It can change their life. Through meaningful touch, through a spoken word, and through pointing out their value, you have the power to change the direction of someone's life. So bless them. Bless them. Many of us have not felt blessed. Maybe we felt like an unblessed child. But what I want every one of us to understand is that feeling, and I'm not saying it's a reality, I'm using the term of what it really is. That feeling is only an illusion for those that God has called. We are blessed. We are blessed. In fact, all of mankind is blessed. They just don't know it. But all of mankind is blessed to be made in God's image and God's likeness. God's ultimate plan, the holy days explaining the incredible plan of salvation where every man, woman, and child who's ever lived is included. God's ultimate plan for mankind is a gigantic blessing to everyone. We have a heavenly parent ready and able to bless us beyond our ability to think or to imagine. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. One by one, we could come up here and describe what we believe the kingdom of God is going to be like. And however graphic, however wonderful, however beautiful it is, it's not enough. Because we cannot imagine. We can't even think it. We can't even conjure it up. But that's how much we have been blessed. And brethren, please understand, God knows all about us. And God sees what others may not see. God knows our potential. Without a doubt, God has blessed us. What we need to do is to go and to bless others. Speak unto Aaron and to his sons. No, we're not the Aaronic priesthood. But I think we just saw that we can all bless one another. And should. And say, on this wise, you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you.